Got a question for you. True or false, do humans use only 10% of their brain? They base movies on that, but it's actually false. We use our whole brain. Did you know that? We use our whole brain. And did you know that when from middle age onwards, we lose 0.2 or 0.3% of the volume of our gray matter? That's a lot. But get this. Whoever gets COVID can lose up to 0.7% in that 1 year. You know, it's starting to make a lot of sense. Doesn't that make a lot of sense of what's happening in the world today? There is a collective stupidity in the world today that is unprecedented. And I don't know if you heard in the States right now, they just started Biden just started something called the Ministry of Truth to fight misinformation. But the thing is how, what's the standard for what's truth? Men can have babies, gender is fluid, babies aren't babies till they pass through the magic birth canal. What is the standard for truth? Who determines what is truth and what is not truth? So to me, it's a really scary idea to have a organization that's, I think, under the Department of Homeland Security or something, called the Ministry of Truth, that is going to fight misinformation. Because how can you fight misinformation when much of what you believe is based on lies and based on just, you know, ideas that are just ridiculous in the world today? And so I thought, you know what? We need, at this time, the Word of God in our hearts and minds. Like, we need to know the truth. We need to be able to stand up against the lies that people bring, that the media brings against us, that our children are being indoctrinated with in school. And we need to equip them with the truth of God's Word. And God's Word is very, very clear. You know, the world seems to be collectively losing its mind. And the reason for it is because of a departure of the worship of God. I mean, we see it clearly in Romans chapter 1. It says that although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God. They weren't thankful, but they became futile in their thoughts and their foolish hearts were darkened. And professing to be wise, they became fools. They changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and four-footed animals and creeping things. And therefore, what did God do? He gave them over to their vile passions. He goes on to say, for even the women exchanged that which is natural for that which is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the error, the penalty of their error, which was due. And so we see right there in Romans chapter 1 that when people refuse to worship and to know our true and living God, what happens is in our minds and in our hearts, we forget who we are. We forget our purpose. We forget our chief end. You know, my grandmother, when she was passing away, or Beppa, I guess, if you're Dutch, when she was passing away, my dad asked her an important question in the hospital. You have to understand, she didn't even know who my dad was. She didn't know who any of her children were because she had Alzheimer's. But my dad asked her this question. He said, "What is the chief end of man, Mom? Or what's the ultimate goal of life?" And his mom answered and said, "To glorify God and to enjoy him forever." I love that. I love that she remembered that. To remember that that's our purpose. That's what God has called us to while we're here on this earth. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 31, "Therefore, whatever you eat or whatever you drink, whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God." Romans 11, 36, "For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen." That's our purpose. That's our calling, is to bring glory to God. Now, there's another way of stating this ultimate goal. Because if our chief end or our purpose is to bring glory to God, Romans 3:23 says that, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Therefore, by sin, we fall short of God's glory." And so you can actually say this statement negatively, and you can actually switch it around and say that the ultimate goal in life, therefore, is not to sin. Because sin is what causes us to not know who God is, to not glorify God. It causes separation between us and God. And so really, if we want to glorify God, we need to realize how to fight sin. And one of the primary ways in which we can fight sin is by doing what it tells us to do in Psalm 119 in verse 11. Now, this is an amazing psalm. There's 22 stanzas. It's a Hebrew acrostic, a poem. Some believe that it was David's poem to his son Solomon, telling him about God's word. And each stanza starts with a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. That's why it says in your Bibles, Aleph, Beit, Gamil, Dalet. And every line of every stanza, you don't see this in the English because they couldn't bring that over in the translation. It would be actually impossible to do it with the English alphabet. But each line starts off with that letter of the Hebrew alphabet. When you see that, it's just a beautiful thing. I'm going this way, but it's actually, they write backwards. So it's this way. Aleph is over here, and then the line goes this way. And it's really neat when you actually see it. Google it. Look it up in the Hebrew. It's a beautiful thing to see. It's a work of art, because whoever wrote this psalm truly loved God's word. And this is what he says about God's word. Your word, in verse 11, your word I have hid in my heart that I may not sin against you. And so let's first break that down. Your word, there's three parts there. Your word I have hidden and in my heart. And when the psalmist wrote your word, he's talking about the first five books of the Bible, and maybe if Daniel wrote this, possibly some of the prophets as well. But he's talking about the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, and he's talking about some of the wisdom literature. And what he's saying is that I have taken this word, your truth, and I have hidden it in my heart. He calls God's word, if you read Psalm 119, I read it every single day. I read a stanza every day. So there's 22. So every 22 days, I'm starting over again. And I read it before I read my other scripture reading. So if my plan for the year is to read through the Bible in the year, I start every day with a stanza from Psalm 119 because it helps me to understand the importance of God's word. And so throughout this chapter, we see God's word talked about as the commandments of God, the statutes, the precepts, your law, all of these different words that are bringing out this meaning of God's word, how precious God's word is. And so he goes on to say, your word I have hidden. Now, how do you hide something in your heart? In Canada, when we think in our North American understanding of the heart, we think of the emotions. We think, I gave my heart to this cause, or my heart belongs to you. And we think of that, the feelings, right? But the Hebrew mind, you have to always understand this. The Hebrew mind, regarding the word heart, is the mind, the will, and the emotions. My whole center, my whole core, my whole being, my thought life, my will, my emotions, it's all caught up. And they believed it to be here in the center of their being. And so when he says, I have hidden it in my heart, he doesn't mean that, you know, I have good feelings about God's word. Some people would wish that's all we had to do, just have some good feelings about God's word. But no, he's saying, I put your word, literally, I put it in my mind. I lock it in there. I lock it down. I memorize it. And it's in my mind, and it's in my heart, and it's in my emotions. I can feel God's word. And the other thing to realize is that when it says, I have hidden your word in my heart, you have to realize that he's talking about this understanding of treasuring something. The Hebrew word is safan. It is to take something. It's before the day of banks. Imagine you had all your life savings and you didn't have a bank to put it in. So what would you do? You would find a hiding place. That's why people to this day dig up and find hoards of coins in the ground. Everybody dreams that will happen to them. Find a bunch of gold in the ground. By the way, you give it to the government, and then they'll give you something back for it or something. But you always dream of that, but they hid it because because it was valuable. Now, what he's saying here is not that we treasure God's word in our heart in the sense that we are counting it as treasure, but rather we are acknowledging that it is treasure. It has an intrinsic value. Whether somebody believes it or not, God's word is truth. That's why I titled this message, The Ministry of Truth. Hoping it'll catch a couple people's attention online too with that title because of the Ministry of Truth that Biden just set up, and understand that, no, the world doesn't have truth. They don't have truth apart from God's word, but that God's word is truth, and therefore we need to take God's word and hide it in our hearts because it is truth. And then, of course, it is in my heart, not just on tablets of stone, not just on the pages of Scripture. I mean, we all have Bibles at home. some of you have a whole shelf full of Bibles. Can you admit that you have a Bible shelf, right? And you love your Bible shelf. You know, you have your whole shelf of Bibles. But what the psalmist isn't saying is that we have God's word treasured on a shelf, but rather we have it hidden in my heart, that it's in my mind, it's in my heart, it's in my emotions, that God's word can be thought and it can be felt at any given time, whether or not you're near your Bible shelf or your Bible app or not, God's word is with you. And so he says, that I might not sin against you. And so those are the two reasons by which we can not sin. And that is that we store and that we treasure the word of God. That we store and treasure God's word. And therefore, we, first of all, need to look at a few different areas in which we need to break down some excuses for memorizing God's word. And that's basically what I'm talking about, is memorizing God's word. Treasuring God's word in your heart means to commit it to your memory. And there's a couple reasons why people say, I don't memorize. One is the fact that I have Bibles everywhere. I have a Bible shelf. I have the Bible app. It's on my phone. I can open it up. I can Google a scripture. I used to always do that when Dave Armstrong gave me a call. He'd be teaching adult Sunday school class. He's on the road trucking, and he'd call me up and say, Pastor, where's that scripture that, and he'd say a couple words of the scripture, and before he even finished, I would say, that's found in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 3. And he'd like, wow, Pastor, you're amazing. Meanwhile, I'm at home in front of my Google, right? I'm trying not to make my keyboard click. And he's like, wow, Pastor, that's amazing. That went on for years, didn't it, Dave? Till finally he discovered Google himself. Now I miss those calls. Those are feel-good moments. But we say, I have Bibles everywhere. But Proverbs 6:8 tells us, or Proverbs 6:7, sorry, 7 and 8, go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no captain, overseer, or ruler, no one's telling the ant what to do, and yet she provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. What do ants do? They take now, store what they need for later on. What should we do as Christians? We should take now and store for what we need later on. Store what you need. You know, today's generation, you know, even with education, I hear this often. We have Google. You know, just teach us how to research. We can figure things out when we need it. We shouldn't have to memorize and learn things and all of this kind of stuff. How many of you have had that attitude, right? I mean, I had it too as a kid when I was in school. I was like, just let us use our calculators. We're going to have calculators for the rest of our lives. Why should I memorize the timetables? I tell you, I'm paying for that to this day. Let me put it this way. Let's play Would You Rather. Okay, you ever play Would You Rather? Kids, we play it at youth group once in a while. Would you rather, if you were receiving brain surgery, have a surgeon who has a great internet connection and access to Google, or would you rather have the surgeon who has written the textbook on brain surgery? Honestly, which would you rather have? The same applies when it comes to the Word of God. You know what? It's great that you have lots of Bibles. It's great you have lots of versions. It's great that you have the Bible app and every reference in the world. We are blessed beyond imagining with how much access we have to the Word of God. But I tell you, it is nothing in comparison to the scriptures that you have put here. Memorize God's Word. It is so important. I love the story of Captain James Roy. You know, he was in a POW, a prisoner of war, for 7 years in Vietnam. Can you imagine that? In confinement, stuck in his cell for 7 years. They weren't allowed talking to the people beside them. So what did they do? Morse code. They tapped it out, and somehow they got away with Morse code. And so they were all talking to each other in Morse code, and they were just wanting so bad for that connection. And one of the things that they did is they tapped out, do you know any scriptures? And so one of them said to the other one, yeah, I know the Lord's Prayer. Another one said, yeah, I know Psalm 23. In over 7 years' time, they memorized the Lord's Prayer, the Sermon on the Mount, 1 Corinthians 13, Romans 12, many of the Psalms. They memorized so much scripture that they were like walking Bibles, walking around their cells, and they would just tap it out with Morse code and memorize it among themselves. I love that story because it gives that illustration of that the ant that stores up now for what you need later on. And I'm not saying that someday you're going to be a POW in a war camp. You know, I mean, maybe someday the Word of God will be taken away. If the Ministry of Truth, as in the new organization in the States, if it has its way, it would love to ban some of the scripture as hate literature. You know, it's not a long stretch. Things I said years ago have come true today. And so, I mean, it's not a long stretch to say that scripture could be banned in the future as hate text. And so store it away. But not only that, but that's one excuse. Another one is, I don't have any time. You ever use that one? I just don't have the time. I'm so busy. You know, we always have time for what we treasure. In fact, if I was to say to you today, next Sunday, I'm going to give you $1,000, or Larry Scher is going to give you $1,000 for every Bible verse you memorize. Every Bible verse you memorize, Larry's going to give you $1,000 next Sunday. How many Bible verses would you have memorized by next Sunday? Honestly, some of you wouldn't even bother going to work this week. You're like, I'm just memorizing. Suddenly, you're all experts at memorizing. Why? Because of the value. Isn't it sad that we actually wouldn't do it for the gold that it actually is rather than for cash? You know, I know I do bribe our youth with chocolate bars and such. The reason I do that is because, you know, and with trips and all kinds of stuff, I love to do that because I know that, you know, if you start now and you store God's word in your heart, if you treasure God's word in your heart and memorize God's word, later on, you're going to appreciate it. You're gonna think, man, I am so thankful that Wes challenged us to do this because I realize that it is a treasure. And you're probably realizing that now already, right, guys? You're probably already beginning to, as you're memorizing and thinking about those scriptures, just starting to think, hey, these words are they're something else. They're different than any other words in the world. These words are life-changing. These words are hopeful, and these words, they draw me close to God. In fact, they are Psalm 19:10, more to be desired are they than gold, yes, of much fine gold, sweeter than honey of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. And so, you know, if you had a time machine, you could go back to when you're like 12 years old, just about to hit a teenager, and you're only allowed saying three words to yourself. Three words to yourself. What would you say? Bitcoin, Tesla, Apple. Bye. Right? I mean, how many of you would be tempted? Right? Set for life. You might even use the excuse, hey, if I did that, I'd have all the time in the world to memorize scripture. But I tell you, if I could go back to that age as a kid, I would say, treasure up scripture in your heart. Treasure up God's word in your heart and live it. Live out God's word because it is life-changing. That is where the real treasure is. Another is excuses. I think it's better to, this is one I hear a lot, I think it's better to understand and study God's word than to memorize it. And that sounds really spiritual, right? It sounds really good, right? I think it's better to understand it and to study it than to memorize it. It's a nice sentiment, but it's not biblical. Joshua 1:8 says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate upon it day and night, that you may observe and do all that is written in it. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Store it in your heart and in your mind. And the reason why, you know, it's one of those answers that's kind of, or excuses that sounds really spiritual because it's like, I'd rather understand it than memorize it. But the truth is that when you meditate, or when you memorize, you're memorizing, you are meditating. You will be meditating on it because now you can take it, you can chew on it and turn it over in your head. And I tell you, there's insights that I've gained from memorizing and meditating on God's word that I would never have gotten by doing any other form of study. There's ways in which truths have popped out in my mind and in my heart where I'm just like, I'm just driving down the road and all of a sudden it hits me. It's like, wow, I never saw that gem, that gold, that beauty in God's word. I would never have seen that apart from the fact that I'm just taking it and turning it over and turning it over in my head as I memorize and think about God's precious word. You know, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Well, how does it get there? It gets there by memorization. Dallas Willard, he told us, he says, memorization is absolutely fundamental to spiritual development. If you know Dallas Willard, he's all about spiritual disciplines. But he says, if I had to choose one of those spiritual disciplines, he said, it would be memorization, because it is fundamental, the fundamental way of filling our minds with what we need. Here's the biggest reason. I can't memorize. The biggest reason, you poor individual, you can't memorize. You just can't do it. You know, I've tried, but I just can't do it. I mean, I hear that one all the time. But I am so thankful that I was gifted with learning disabilities. I was gifted with the most severe, crazy learning disabilities. I don't know, some sort of weird dyslexia, reading comprehension, inability to memorize. I couldn't do it. And it was such a struggle. And to this day, it is a huge struggle for me to memorize and to retain stuff and to comprehend. You know, that's come along quite a ways. But I was in every special class that was available, you know, and I always thought it was enrichment, you know, for the smart students. That's how good my Christian school was. I love that school. They made me feel so special. You're really smart, so we're taking you out to give you extra that the other kids can't handle. And I'd go in there thinking, I'm one of the smart students. I'd come out with my chest all puffed up. And I genuinely thought that all the way until I got to high school. And the principal of the high school is like, yeah, so 20% in math isn't really going to be, you know, maybe we better put you in basic. And, you know, I really struggled with learning disabilities and flipping things in my head. I could not comprehend the words on the page. But I had one teacher who, you know, memorizing Monday mornings was the worst. I would cry myself to sleep Sunday night because I couldn't memorize my scripture. I knew I had to have it done the next day. And it was always random verses all over the Bible, right? And it was just a task because that's what you do in Christian school. Yeah, it's a task to be done. But then I had one teacher in grade 8, Mrs. Strobosher, I think it was. And she challenged me in regard to memorizing and the whole class and talked to us about it being a spiritual formation, a discipline, a changing of our hearts and minds. And she got our whole class to memorize a whole chapter of the Bible. And I tell you, I was a mess. A whole chapter? I can't even memorize a verse. But that process of going through that whole chapter, and I did it. I got to the end. I memorized the whole chapter. Just made me see Bible memory as something totally different. In fact, it prepared me for ministry, because when I got back into, or when I started youth pastoring here at 18 years old, I still had reading comprehension issues. I still struggled with that somewhat. And so when I got up here to preach the word, I didn't want to sit here and fumble over the words and read them. And I was so nervous about it. So what did I do? Every day on my way back and forth to work, I would memorize what I was going to teach. So I'd memorize James, and we challenged our youth group, let's memorize James together. And we memorized James, a whole bunch of them memorized it. And now our youth are doing that together again. We're memorizing James, not the whole book, but probably about a quarter of it. And a lot of them have done that whole book. But the biggest reason I can't memorize, I tell you, I'm thankful for it, because I can say that, yeah, you know what, I can't either. But if you work hard enough at what you treasure, eventually it'll come to you. And I just want to encourage you in that. Hebrews says that God's word is living and powerful. It provides us with life-changing communication with Jesus. You see, when you have God's word hidden in your heart, and if this is how God, this is how he speaks to you, right? And so when his word, how he speaks to you, is in here, God can talk to you anywhere. I love that. That any time during the day, God can speak to me by his word. Why? Because I've hidden his word in my heart and in my mind. And so memorizing his word has this way of securing your focus on him. It's right where you need it, right when you need it. And if you struggle with sin, and a sinful lust comes at you and tries to lure you in, what you do is you recall to your mind a mind-changing, Christ-revealing scripture that will show you the superior worth and beauty of Christ over whatever that lust and sin is proposing to you. And I tell you, that is why the psalmist said, your word I've hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Because if you want to punch Satan in the face, if you want to hit him, The word of God is the way to do it. If you want victory, memorizing scripture is the place that that happens. And so I want to encourage you to memorize the word of God. You know, the devil hates you. He hates your family. He hates this church. We need a spiritually offensive weapon. And that weapon is the word of God. And we need that weapon on hand at all times. And as I said earlier, it provides the power we need for ministry. Think about sharing your faith with someone. And instead of sitting there and saying, okay, well, what is that scripture saying? Looking, there's nothing wrong with that. You can open your Bible and, you know, pull it open and then read it. But imagine you just start speaking what your scriptures say. What are they going to think? And be like, this person, they really know this. They love this. They took enough time. It's so important that they memorized whatever it is that they're saying to me word for word because they treasure it. And I tell you, it just packs a punch when people are just speaking God's word from their hearts. Proverbs 25:11 says that a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. I love that. It's such a beautiful apples of gold in settings of silver. And what it's saying is that a word that it's a beautiful way of saying that when your heart is full of God's love and it can draw on a mind that is full of God's word, then timely blessings are going to flow from your mouth. That's what it's saying. And that you're going to be able to speak into situations and in people's lives in a way that is life-changing. So I just want to close with just a few techniques. I'm going to email these out to you. So if you're not on our church email list, go onto our Facebook or our webpage. The email link is right there. I'll put it underneath the video, too, for the live stream. I'll add that in later on, so check back later when I add it in. But just a couple techniques. One that we see all the time, and some people don't like this, but say it quickly. Say the scripture quickly. It's something about saying it quickly that your mind is able to put the words together and help you to memorize it. Now, I don't say it quickly all the time. Just when you're memorizing it initially, say it really quickly, and then try saying it really slowly. Okay? So it's just there's something about that as a technique that just is huge, is your mind's ability to take words in faster. Now, some of these might work for some people, not for others. And the other thing is to say it dramatically. Some of you are just dramatic by nature. And so it's a great technique for you because you can dramatize it in your mind. And people will think you're crazy as you drive down the road, dramatically speaking out the scripture. But do it because it's another way of being able to lock it into your heart and your mind. And as you're saying it calmly to someone later on, the dramatic part of it is kind of punctuating it in the background and helping you to remember the order of the words and how you're saying it. Another thing is to say it prayerfully. So as you're memorizing it, just be prayerfully saying it. There's something powerful about speaking back God's word to him. That's a powerful way of praying, is to pray scripture. Because it's God's will. You can't go wrong in praying scripture because it's God's own words that you're saying back to him. And so pray scripture. Say it prayerfully. You know, I always have printed sheets. I don't like to beat the snot out of my precious Bibles. I don't even write in my Bibles. I just, you know, I almost cried when one got left in the rain and it damaged the corner here. It got left on the wagon for the outdoor service. It's my favorite Bible, calfskin. So I have a hard time writing my Bible, but for you that like to mark up your Bibles, there's nothing wrong, there's nothing sinful about it. Go ahead and highlight all your memory works. Have a memorizing Bible. Have one that, you know, the pages can kind of get rough because you've spent so much time in it, and it'll remind you of your investment and how much you treasure God's word. And that's fine. But if you don't want to mess up your calfskin, oh, I got a bent page there. If you don't want to memorize your calfskin or like wreck your Bible, then go to your printer and print off copies. So I have all these beat up copies of paper. One thing I've been doing is I set my iPhone in my thing so that when I'm at a stop sign or something like that, I just have my scripture sitting on the screen, or when I'm pulled over for some reason, I just review for a bit. And then as I'm driving, I just keep on saying it. Yeah, don't read while you're driving ever. But that's another thing that you can use and then I'll send out to you all the apps that are available now. One of the apps is actually reminds me of a way Angie taught me to memorize, and that is to use the first letter of each word And so that's just a technique where you read the scripture and then you look at the first letter of each word and try to recall it just with those letters. Really neat way to memorize. And what happens is you kind of see the patterns in those letters and stuff, and it just helps to stick it in your mind. And so there's some apps that actually use that, one called Scripture Typer, and you sit there and you type out the first letter of each word, and then the weird word appears, and then it beeps at you and vibrates if you get it wrong, and then it shows you all the problem areas that you need to work on. Amazing app. So many people out there encouraging, writing things that are helpful. And so I make first letter hint sheets. That's what I made for you youth. Do you guys use the first letter thing or not? Yeah, that's helpful. So some people find it really helpful. And so whatever you find helpful, you use it. You replicate it and put it in your arsenal. My buddy Bob Hall, he would set scripture to poems. He would write it in poetic form. And that helped him to memorize all kinds of scripture memorized because he rewrote it in his own words in a poetic form. I love that. You know, just such a great way to treasure God's word. And if you have any techniques or any ideas, send them to me. You know, putting scripture to song. Many of you, if song helps you, there's almost the whole Bible's been written in songs now. There's so many out there, different songs that the scripture is written in. And so if that helps you, that's great. And then the last thing that I want to say is this: review. Review, review, review. The greatest discouragement is this: I memorized it, and a week later, it was gone. It's not gone. It just needs to be reviewed. What happens is when you review, it comes back to the forefront, and regular review, this is what it does. Our mind, I've given this illustration before, our mind is like a jungle. First time through a jungle, what happens? It's like brutal, right? That first learning it, getting the words in the right order, learning for word, it is brutal. It's like you're hacking through with a machete. That's how your brain is. You got to lay down, I call it the myelin highway. Myelin is what covers the synapses in your brains. It's this white stuff. It's a fatty tissue that helps to create and wire the paths in your brain and helps you to remember something. And so what happens is repetition and review creates this myelin superhighway through your brain. The way I look at it is this: it's not memorized until the road is paved through that jungle forest. It just isn't. Because unless you've reviewed it for like 100 days and then, you know, wait another 100 days and are at that point able to call it back, it isn't totally in there yet. And so don't ever just, I mean, some people say, you know, memorize it and then just move on and memorize new stuff. But I look at it, it's treasure. I don't want to lose it. And so I don't encourage that. I think it's important to memorize and try to keep as much as you can in your mind. I want to be like Beppa someday and be able to remember the most important thing in life. The most important thing in life is that we live to glorify God. Yeah, I will forget all you kids, but we all remember you again in heaven. I'll remember you all in heaven. But I mean, if I can remember to my last day God's word, and that lying there on my deathbed when I'm maybe lying there in confusion, I might be in that state someday, lying there in confusion, scriptures will be a comfort to me. You know, Beppa would say the Psalms in Frisian, and you know, when she could no longer remember other things, she could still speak those Psalms in Frisian. And I want to be able to speak God's word and have those truths come out in my life. And I'll send out a bunch of other stuff, but we want to share in communion together. And so let's prepare that and set our hearts now. And I want to encourage you, don't walk away from this message today saying, oh, that was really good and I should do that. Resolve today what you're going to do. Have a plan. Set a plan for yourself.